Do you want to make a difference in the world?
And see the lives of the people of India and all internationals transformed with the gospel?
As India goes, all Asia will go with.
Living the Dream podcast provides tools for you to pray, give, and go
as you become an active participant in the Great Commission.
And help your church's demographic represent the demographic of your community.
Get ready to find your strategy for reaching your community and changing the world here at Living the Dream podcast with your host, Pastor Kevin.
Good morning. I'm Pastor Kevin, founder and executive director of Global Hope India, and your host for Living the Dream podcast. This is where the church gathers to mobilize in order to effectively reach the community and change the world, including all the foreign-born internationals moving into our communities. I interview today's top church leaders from around the world so we can learn all we can about reaching internationals with the gospel and partnering with them in the Great Commission. It's time the church has this conversation and gets comfortable with the fact that God has brought the foreign mission field right next door. In fact, if you haven't checked out the free resources page my team has put together at globalhopeindia.org in a while, I strongly encourage you to do so. We are building and scaling that section with brand new content. Everything you need in order to determine if your church's demographics are representing the demographics in your community. You'll find practical articles and resources to help your church have an identifiable and measurable strategy for reaching internationals. You'll see how to assess, empower, and measure success. You'll find a wide variety of tools and resources we have compiled from the brilliant insights shared by our very generous guest. Just go to globalhopeindia.org/resources for more tools for your success. Before we start with today's episode, let me introduce you to Joe Woolworth of Relevant Media Solutions. And let me share additional context with you about why I'm so over the moon excited about this podcast. In fact, when Joe and I connected, I said, finally, someone who gets storytelling. Joe, why are you so passionate about storytelling?
From a marketing standpoint, it's kind of like a buzzword right now, but it's an ancient truth. The way that our brains work, we want to interpret the world through stories. And helping people tell great stories allows people to be memorable and be remembered so that people can recall that information when they need it later on. It's been a privilege to work with you because you guys have some fantastic stories from over 20 years of ministry in India.
Yeah. So Joe, he is the former communications director at Hope Community Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. There, he was responsible for the communications to tens of thousands of people across multiple campuses that were both inside and outside the USA. Joe is the owner of Podcast Carry, and he has helped Global Hope India with our websites and our podcast. But the thing I really appreciate about him is before he engages any technology, he took time to capture our story. Joe, I just really appreciate how you're helping us take the 20 years of God telling his story through Global Hope India and allowing us to share it with the Living the Dream listeners.
And I'm excited to get to partner up with you on this. On this episode, excited to dive into a little bit of the history of Global Hope India, how it became what it is today, what it started out as, what it is now. One of the things I find very fascinating about the story of Global Hope India is how unlikely like your story is to now be the person leading a international missions organization. When did the idea of calling into just ministry in general kind of come into your life?
So I grew up in a poor and broken family in the foothills of Western North Carolina. And I looked back and every time we had family reunions and our cousin got together and we acted out like two of our cousins getting married, I was always the pastor officiating the wedding. And I've had a tender heart for people in general, but I really did not have any clue that I would be called into ministry until I was 17 years old. The beginning of my senior year in high school, God really got a hold of my heart. I had always grown up in the church. I had given my heart to Christ whenever I was 10.
at an outdoor meeting. I remember the plan of salvation. I knew that I had a problem called sin and I needed a provision of God named Jesus. And so I called upon the name of Jesus and was gloriously saved. I remember being baptized and then my family fell apart and I never really had any discipleship of the Lordship of Christ. So I had the salvation. I had what we would call fire insurance, but I really didn't understand a personal walk with Christ. That happened when I was 17, and it was such a radical transformation that God did in my life. It just began to come with this growing burden for other people to know the joy and the love and the peace that I had been shown. And so I started having these conversations with the hometown pastor, and he, over a couple of months, just discipled me in how to hear God's voice and how God calls people into ministry. And within 6 months, before New Year's, that same year, I'd gone to a youth convention. The final message was on the call. And God, over that six-month period, had just prepared my heart to respond, "Lord, here am I, send me." And
did you know what that looked like? Were you just like, sign me up, whatever it is?
I look back and I had some traditional stereotypes of what being a pastor looked like or what being an evangelist looked like. And I really remember being challenged in the first 10 years of ministry because I kept trying to fit myself into molds that God had not called me to. And it was frustrating. And I played a lot of comparison game and I was on a performance-driven based relationship with God. It was brought on staff of a larger church in Raleigh, North Carolina. One of the executive pastors spoke into my life and just said, "You are really God's startup guy." And that's when I began to just understand how God had equipped me as an entrepreneur in the body of Christ for starting new ministry and projects. And I think that's why I've lasted in the mission of India, because it's been so multifaceted, but it's all been focused on Global Hope India.
Global Hope India has been in operation since what year?
So we actually incorporate, I went to India my first time in 1998, and we incorporated as a nonprofit organization in 2003.
Okay. Do you want it to grow your reach? You want it to be able to reach more people?
Yeah. So during my first trip, two things happened that I look back and they were pretty monumental, even though I didn't understand it at the time. When I was standing in the soil of India on my first trip, I remember praying a prayer, "God, let me bring all three of my children to show them your work here in India," because I was looking into the eyes of orphan children that did not have a toothbrush or a pair of sandals, but they knew the presence of God and they had so much joy in their life. And I was going to get on a plane and come back to the USA to pastor's kids, my own three kids that had a lot of material blessing and yet lacked the presence of God and lacked joy in their life, but they were Christian pastor's kids. And so I really yearned to be able to take them to India because I knew that it was my wife. It was our value to raise our children, not to be materialistic, but nothing could really, I could say verbally that would impact them more than showing them the difference of what it looked like when you had nothing but the presence of God and yet you knew joy. The other thing that happened on that trip was that I met a local pastor and an indigenous leader there. And I remember a year later, this was before email, I received a letter. It came a month, took a month to come over by boat. And in this letter, Pastor Raja said, "I can no longer align myself with the Lord Jesus Christ and ignore the cries of the children on my doorstep. My wife and I have prayed. We opened up our doors and we began caring for these orphan and disabled children." And I had grew up in the church, and to that day, I'd never witnessed anyone give a witness of saying, "I cannot align myself with Jesus and not do this action." So that really got my attention. I had met him and I knew that he did not have a lot of resources. And now he's by faith, depending on God to not only sustain him and his daughter and wife, but now these 35 other orphan and disabled children. So that really got my attention. So 3 years later, I go back and I took my 11-year-old son and some friends from church. And then 3 years after that, I took my 11-year-old daughter and some friends from church. And so as these teams began to form, then we saw the opportunity to do projects, small projects in the beginning. But I started worshiping at a larger church here in Raleigh, North Carolina, and I talked to them about taken a team over to India. That at that time I'd gone 3 times. And they said, sure, give it a try. And 8 adults ended up going. And it was a life-changing experience for them. And when they came back, they had a vision of helping Pastor Raja build an orphanage for these orphan and disabled children. And so we needed a bank account and the ability to have tax-deductible receipts for the donors to this orphanage. And so we started working on the incorporation. 2003, we incorporated, and it was Global Hope India.
Yeah.
But in 2011, all it had was a bank account and this project and this hobby of taking these teams over. And one team a year became 2 teams a year, 3 teams a year. And in October 2010, I'm sitting in Pastor Raja's church, and I'm now talking to 30 rural church planting leaders. And God just reached into my heart and broke it afresh for the pastors of India that this hobby of taking these teams needed to be a full-time focus, that the pastors needed our prayers and our resources and our encouragement and our love. And so I was on staff at Hope Community Church for 3 years. And I go back and I share with Shelley, we pray, and then I end up talking to the leaders at Hope, and we pray together. And in April 2011, I came off staff and started raising my support as a full-time missionary to Global Hope India. And within 1 month, God had provided a small staff and donated office space on the main street in downtown Raleigh, North Carolina, where we were for 7 years as we began to work on Global Hope India full time.
And now, a story from the mission field.
So one of our teams goes up to the state of Orissa doing a program in a rural village. And the team is scattered throughout the village, and I'm asked to go over to one of the homes, and there's a group of people gathered at that home, and I see this group of people, and we are there, and it's all friendly, everyone's talking and everything, and the next thing I know, this woman hands me a baby. Had no offense, I love holding the baby, and I find out that it's a baby girl, and that she's been born 3 weeks. Eventually, the translator says, she is wanting you to name the baby. I could not believe this. I am a stranger. I am unaware of this custom. They were wanting to honor me as a visitor from the U.S. by being the person that would speak the name over this baby. I had just preached a sermon on Abigail. And that was the first female name that came to mind. And I looked at her and I said, she shall be called Abigail. And the mom looked at me and smiled so big and took the baby. It was a very humbling experience. I was not only a visitor in the village, but there is this little girl even now to this day running around named Abigail. The Lord allowed me to give her her name.
Global Hope India empowers the church in India through multiple channels. One of the most influential methods has proven to be sending individuals on short-term trips to India. During your 10 days in India, you will make a difference, be the hands and feet of Jesus, and see the lives of Indian internationals transformed by the gospel. We have opportunities in children's ministry, women's ministry, job training, medical missions, and more. Experience a life-changing adventure. If you're looking to make an impact, India is the place and GHI is the opportunity. See our trips at globalhopeindia.org/go.
Know your numbers. Maybe you've seen the show Shark Tank, and you've seen the business owners come in to pitch to the sharks and explain why they're the right person to execute the vision for their business. Well, we believe that you are the right person to execute the vision for your church, and you need to know your numbers.
Catch this. The total population of all Asian countries in 2019 is 4.6 billion people. Not only does that cover the entire 1040 window, but that is 2/3 of the Earth's total population. There are 7.3 billion people alive on Earth today, and 4.6 billion identify themselves as Asian, coming from an Asian country. So Asians represent 2/3 of the total Earth's population, and Asians are the smallest group of Christians in the world. Foreign-born Asians are the fastest growing population of internationals in the USA. And the population of Asians in the US is expected to double in the next 15 years. So never in the history of the church has there been a better opportunity to reach Asians with the gospel than today. And as your church, our church, reaches foreign-born internationals, they will reach other foreign-born internationals. Now, that's truly changing the world.
So I love the idea that it started out with a trip where you were surprised and in awe of God for bringing 8 adults over, and now over 1,000 people have gone through Global Hope India on trips to India. And what I imagine is that you have just story after story about how it is so transformative in the lives of people that go. Mm-hmm. And if you had to just sum it up in one sentence to somebody that's maybe on the fence about whether or not they should go on a missions trip, or if they should allow their student to go on a missions trip, what do you say? Like, you got to do it. This is why.
God uses us to call people to pray, give, and go. And I regularly say there's no greater catalyst for you praying and giving to missions than you actually going on a trip. And so I have.
So for a lot of people, they might think the easy thing to do is to pray, or this is a small sacrifice. But to make it a lifestyle or something that really grips your heart, maybe you're doing it in the reverse order, like just jump in, go.
Yeah, I really believe that God calls us to radical obedience. And there's really nothing more radical than getting a passport, a visa, packing your bags, and getting your butt on the seat of an airplane and flying over 8,000 miles away in order to share Christ with an unreached people group.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, I had the opportunity as a teenager to go on a short-term missions trip, and it fundamentally changed my life.
Mm-hmm.
It changed the way I understood culture. It changed the way I understood my role in the Great Commission. And I mean, I can't recommend it enough.
Yeah.
Did you ever think that it would get this big when you rewind back to Kevin growing up, or high school Kevin, and you felt God called you into ministry?
I've been a part of writing a lot of plans for church starts and different ministry organizations. And I can honestly say this is one area where there was no business plan, and I really had no clue. And it's just developed over the last 20 years to be what it is today. Very humbled to see God allowing me this opportunity. And I'm still trying to figure it out, in all honesty, and just staying in step with the Holy Spirit step by step to just make sure I'm not running in front of Him, but I'm not lagging behind Him, and that we are just being faithful stewards of anything He puts in our hand that we can leverage for the advancement of the gospel among the unreached people of India.
Yeah, and you and I have talked. We love that show Shark Tank, and we have a segment called Know Your Numbers. So here's some of the numbers for Global Hope India. It's important when we jump into this numbers to know that it's not a bragging thing, but just a reflection of how God took the obedience of starting something and what He has turned it into and what He's been doing. So how many millions of dollars has Global Hope India raised for God's work in India?
We just passed the 5 million mark, and just excited to see that as only a beginning of what is still the great things God's going to do in us and through us. We were able to collect $836,000 for the work of God in India. We had 507 volunteers involved locally and in India. They combined for 22,614 volunteer hours. One of the interesting things is that's over 1.6 million miles being flown for missions. We sponsor 2 5Ks locally, and all of the participants together ran over 1,050 miles. In India, we distributed 18,735 gospel bracelets. We also distributed 3,750 hygiene kits. Last year, we saw clean water being distributed to over 22,000 recipients for the first time. We also saw 4,463 patients go through our medical and dental clinics. We had 2,024 leaders in development programs during the year, and we were able to impact 2,990 children in outreach programs. So in the last 20 years, we're about to exceed 1,000 people going over to India with us on mission trips, and we've raised over $5 million for the work of God in India.
Wow, that's crazy. So yeah. What are you really excited about for the future of Global Hope India?
Yeah, that we have the opportunity to empower the churches in the U.S. as they reach internationals living here in the community. It is always going to be a value of Global Hope India to facilitate short-term teams. And empowering a believer in the U.S. with the words, "I've been there," is a powerful strategic move in reaching internationals. But you don't have to go to the foreign mission field. All you have to do is go across the road or go into the marketplace, and you're going to see internationals today. And so we can empower the local churches in the U.S. to reflect the vision that we see in Revelation 7, 9, and 10 of every nation, every tongue, every tribe worshiping Jesus. That's the church in heaven, but yet our churches today aren't the same representation of that church. And so we can really empower the church in the U.S. to live the dream together.
And through what you've learned with 20 plus years of mission experience, help providing with practical tools and ways that they can go about either reaching their internationals locally in their community, or tools and ways to help them understand and empower them to send people on trips.
Yeah. Every church needs to look over our list of things that they can be doing right now that will not cost them any money, that will help them be more effective in reaching internationals. We have another list of worthy investments that every church should consider making in order to have a measurable, identifiable strategy in reaching internationals.
Yeah.
And every church can do something. Money shouldn't be an excuse. It is the calling of Almighty God that we see this vision that is given to us in Revelation 7 of every nation, every tribe, every tongue. That's the church we're going to be worshiping with in heaven. Our time in eternity is going to be a lot longer than our time here on earth. And so as it is in heaven, let it be here on earth. And let our churches begin to reflect what we see in Revelation 7, 9 through 10.
And so if you're listening, we want to thank you so much, as well as I wanted to give you an opportunity, Pastor K. Who would be somebody that they should forward this on?
Yeah. Well,
who is the target audience? Like, who do you really want to hear this message?
If you're on staff of a local church, regardless of denomination and size, every church should share the common vision and mission to reach its community in order to change the world. And so every staff member of a church, any person in decision-making authority over missions, should listen to this podcast. If you are working in children's ministry or youth ministry, adult ministry, regardless of your capacity, we're on the same team. And as a team, we want to empower and equip you to reach the internationals in your community. We will be sharing on a future episodes how the internationals, in my perspective, have been sent by God to your community to help you change the world. And if the primary focus of your church is to the American audience, the white and black audience, and you're not yet reaching the internationals, you're missing God's strategy for using your church to change the world.
Yeah, it's like he's provided this amazing opportunity of, like I've heard you say before, like the mission field 10 years ago, people might have thought, well, I got to get on an airplane. I've got to get all my stuff together so I can go to the missions field. And it's like God saying, yes, that's fantastic, but I'm also just going to put it in your backyard now.
Yeah.
And so it's right here in your community. Mm-hmm. And so the practices and the principles that you've learned through Global Hope India are now not just these ideas that only work in a different continent. But it's like, how do we change the paradigm and help people understand that these principles work here?
Yeah. I said it in one of our episodes that I went to India just like everyone goes on a foreign mission trip with the desire to have an impact on the people that they're going to serve. And that's a great motive. But I look back and God used India to change my life. And in that same conviction, I really believe that He is filling our communities up with internationals to be the solution, not the challenge to changing the world, but the part of the strategy to change the world. Yeah. If we can reach the internationals, then who better can take it to their communities? But are we going to join God in this strategy? Are we going to make a purposeful shift in the focus of our church to be intentional about reaching internationals?
Let's do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, thanks for listening.
We want to hear from you. And I'm serious. We set up a dedicated phone line to record your 3-minute story at 817-66-DREAM. That's 817-66-DREAM. Do you have an idea for the best episode ever for the Living the Dream podcast? We want to know. Call 817-66-DREAM. That's 817-66-DREAM and leave your message. If we pick your message, we'll send you a free Living the Dream t-shirt. Check it out on our website. 817-66-DREAM. That's 817-66-DREAM.
Thank you for listening to the Living the Dream podcast, empowering and equipping church staff with an identifiable and measurable strategy for reaching internationals and changing the world. You can help us live the dream by liking, commenting, subscribing to this podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts. And you can find more resources to empower and equip your church staff at globalhopeindia.org/resources. That's globalhopeindia.org/resources.